Today we are shifting gears a bit to think about pastoral care as a ministry of the whole, all the people, the whole community. The United Church of Canada is made up of all of Canada and Bermuda, for those who don't know. And so to begin with, I want to share with you a list of ethnocultural and linguistic-specific ministries within the United Church of Canada. Did you know that our dear church includes congregations and communities of faith that are French, German, Hungarian, and Armenian? We have two communities in the Ontario area that focus on those from Ghana and Uganda. And there are varying Asian ministries across the country, Korean, Filipino, Japanese, Chinese, and Taiwanese. Communities of people, languages, cultures, foods, music, faith, long traditions of Christmas and Easter, and weekly woven experiences specific to cultures and linguistics. We just heard the readings from scriptures from John and Acts. This conversation between Jesus and Peter, where Jesus is instructing three times to feed my sheep, and then asks, "Do you love me?" It is thought by some that he did this not to for Peter to feel angry or feel bad about himself, but for him to truly know that he is welcome, that he belongs. In the second part, the command, "Feed my sheep," piece, is about leadership and a sense of purpose. So once we join the church or a community, we feel welcome and part of it, and that we need something to do. It's kind of like being a newcomer or a visitor in a community, church or not. A few weeks ago, I visited a United Church in my area. Yes, even ministers can be visitors in other places. I felt a little uneasy walking through the door. Didn't know what to expect. Didn't know what worship would be like or the music. Will I see a friendly face? Will I feel comfortable? Well, I did. I entered the building. A greeter with a smiling face met me at the door, a welcome table for my browsing, and then I was able to slip in and sit close to the back. I could see the screen, my seat was comfortable, and I was ready to go. But I've had opposite experiences. About a decade ago, I visited a United Church in the Lower Mainland known by many for its sense of welcome. So I thought I'd check it out. And as I walked in the door, I was greeted in a way that I will never forget. "Hi, welcome. You must be a visitor today. Here's your name tag, here's your mug, and this is where all the visitors sit." I haven't been back. It was a bit much. Woo! Jesus with Peter gifts us with the grounding for good, intentional pastoral care. And for the love of Christ, we receive a deep calling for being genuinely present with each other. The church, that's our role in caring for our community and creating a sense of welcome. We all like to belong, to find a way to fit in. For some of us, it's harder than others. But as we say, and I didn't say today because I would say it now, is that you are always welcome here. No matter your story, no matter how you're feeling, whatever you are carrying with you, and wherever you are on the journey of faith. I think it's safe to say that we all know that sometimes we feel left out. We have a great team here, the pastoral care team. Beryl, Beulah, Betty, not all bees, Sandy, Maggie, and Allison. Did I get everybody? Yes, good. And you all work as a team to faithfully hold this community in prayer with intentional care and deep love for holding us as a whole community. So what is pastoral care? Pastoral is a very church word. Pastoral is something that's done typically in history by a pastor. Pastoral letters, pastoral emails, pastoral care. Our pastoral care team is supported by Bruce and I. And like a shepherd caring for the flock, and like Jesus caring for his disciples, looking out for all, we work together like an umbrella. An umbrella with a great big canopy holding us all together. And if you imagine the umbrella with all the different spokes, every spoke is a ministry that we do. And every spoke is made up with more little bits of details and materials and sources of care, with the stem holding us firmly in place, and with the opportunities of the church opening up and sometimes closing, depending on the situations that we are supporting. And in our church, those spokes are filled in many different ways. On the table, I have our prayer shawls, because our wonderful knitters keep this going, and this basket is always in the back. But these are prayer shawls embraced by God, here to provide love and warmth, perhaps to someone in hospital that needs it the most, or a new parent that's struggling to find their way with a new little one in their lives. We have card ministry, and some of our sewers make finger labyrinths so that those that may be in hospital or stuck at home need a meditation or a prayer tool, they can use a hand, small version of a labyrinth. Of course, we have casserole dishes for casserole deliveries, and some great napkins that say, bless you. Prayer cards and crosses and at-home communion is another piece of pastoral care that our team and our church offers. We don't know when we will be called upon to offer pastoral care, because everyone who walks through the doors, all of you today, come here, and we never quite know what needs are needed at that time. I want to share two stories as I've looked back through my ministry with you. Two unexpected pastoral care stories that talk about how everybody has a different thing that they carry. I have been a youth leader in many different places, and probably 20 years ago, I had a youth group with about 14 boys and one girl. They had me on my toes all the time. And there was somebody in that group who I will just call Jacob. That's not his name, but I'll call him Jacob. And Jacob really struggled with a relationship with his dad. Mom and dad were at home, but dad and him, there was friction, didn't always work so well. He tried hard to find a way to feel that dad appreciated him. And I think dad did appreciate him, but he just never quite got there. He was dealing with a number of teen issues, as teenagers go through. And one day, he went out with a group of friends, and they had a good time. It wasn't until I happened to be at Richmond Center bus stop when Jacob got off the bus I was waiting to get on, and he was completely intoxicated. He was very surprised to see me standing there. And with no judgment at all, I just got him on the right bus, which was not my bus, and got him home. No judgment, no words. I just said, let's just get you home safely for you to be there. And yes, there'll be other conversation down the road. Another experience was with a woman that came off of in the community at a church I was serving, just called the church and said her husband had died and that she wanted to do a service. We didn't know her at all, and so I arranged to meet with her and her daughter. It was a second marriage, so husband who died had a son from a previous marriage, and this woman had a daughter from a previous marriage. And the husband died quite suddenly, unexpectedly, and so I agreed to meet with them. And we planned the whole service, pretty straightforward. And then a few hours later, I received a call from a police officer, only to find out that while we were planning the memorial service, the son, who was angry, who never liked the new marriage, who was mad at his stepmom, he cleared out the house. He took everything he believed belonged to his dad, leaving stepmom with nothing, not even a photo for the service. So pastoral care shifted from a memorial service planning to a big family dramatic experience of support and even deeper grief. We never know when a story might come our way, whether it's us here today or someone in need in our community. In the Message Bible, which is a different Bible that we used in our scripture for Acts today, I looked up the Acts translation, and it translates to say, now it's up to you. Be on your toes, both for yourselves and your congregation of sheep. The Holy Spirit has put you in charge of these people. God's people they are, to guard and protect. God himself thought they were worth dying for. Now it's up to us. Let's be on our toes, be present for each other here and beyond our doors. I'll end with one final story, and this one is from last Sunday. My child and I were outside playing ball on the field. It's a large green space with a public walking path halfway up the hill. And we were playing on the path, but we're always sure to move for every cyclist and dog walker and family that comes by, so we're stopping and going a lot. And this week, an older man, perhaps of Asian descent, not sure, he was making his way up very slowly, and my child said, let's just move and let him go. So we moved and we were waiting. It is my practice, even as an introvert, to greet every person that walks by me. And so I said, oh, hello. And he stopped and his whole face lit up. And he said in broken English, today. And I said, are you 90 today? Yes, me. me. And I said, wow. He said, every day. I said, you walk every day? Yes, every day. I said, you swim every day? Yes. And he continued with his smile, and he said, today, me, 90. And then he left as he bowed and went on his walk. A beautiful interaction, one that perhaps made his day. It definitely made my day, sharing a smile with someone whose language was not common. We didn't share that, but that we were able to communicate and be present to each other in that moment. Giving thanks for pastoral care and for the call of God's people to create space